I'm so grateful for the reading and the music today. Not only it is, I just want to briefly say this before our meditation. Not only is America's birthday, but our brother Jim Cianello, 87. So let's give him a hand. He goes to the gym and he keeps on, all right? So we are grateful. As we come today to celebrate July 4, our nation birthday, we come with a grateful heart for this nation. I cannot think any place in the world I would rather live than in this great land called America, the dream land of the entire world. Despite of what people said, believe me, I have been in many countries, Europe and South America. America is still the dream land of the world. What I'd like to do with you this morning is to take a piece of history of the Old Testament in the life of another great nation, Israel, and take that history under the pen of King David as he meditates on the mistakes of the nation and claims to God for restoration, and compare that to America today. So we're going to do a little bit of history in one size from the Old Testament and from America, a little piece of things that I got information on, and then we're going to compare it to the present and see what God has to say to us. The history of Israel is recorded in Psalm 44 that our brother read for us. And I want you to notice in these first three verses of Psalm 44, the psalmist tell us over and over again what God did for them. May I read Psalm 44, verses 1 to 3. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathens with thy hand, and plantest them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Do you hear it? In other words, David is saying these simple statements. God, we were not around when you sent the plagues to deliver the people from the bondage of the greatest empire on earth, Pharaoh. We were not around. God, we were not around when you led your people by the cloud, by day, and were not around when was the pillar of fire in the night. God, we were not around when you opened the Red Sea for your people to walk across dry ground. God, we were not around when you fed your people with manna from heaven. The psalmist is saying, we were told about your greatness and about your power. Verse 3 clearly said, the reason why Israel became the greatest and powerful nation on that peninsula of the world, it is because, verse 3 say at the end, because thou hast given them your grace and your power. That's why. This is what he's saying. Now, they better listen to what God has done. He's saying, Lord, the nation of Israel has become the greatest nation that ever existed on the face of the earth, not because of anything they have done, but because you, O God, made them great. That's the past of Israel. Each time I have a chance to talk to a person who has a root on the Jewish race, I mention this to them. Remember Psalm 44. The reason why you are the people of God is because God, Jehovah, have made you the people of God. What about America? We are not too old. When we talk about Israel, we talk about over 5,000 years. But what about America? We are not too old. Today, America, believe it or not, is the superpower of the world. I was looking in Al-Alamaha, the radio station in Arab, just to see what they say about football. And I learned their process. That, you know, Saudi Arabia is the largest peninsula who has no rivers, natural rivers or lake. And I thought, how in the world they have water? Because America has created all the pumping stations to transform the salt water and the water that you can drink. Amazing. America is the largest power of the world. When we come to technology, we lead other nations. All things are manufactured in China, Japan, Korea and India, but the technology comes from this country called America. When we come to medicine, people from all over the world come to America, to our hospitals, to mingle with our doctors and to learn from us. When it comes to our universities, people from all over the world attended our universities with pride. I wonder, what was the force behind the great power of Israel? I said to myself many times, why these Israelis are so smart and so powerful? Look at in Psalm 44, verse 4 to 7, and we come in a minute to the history of America. Thou art my king, O God. Now it's a king writing. I wish President Obama will write this. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverance from Jacob. Verse 5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Look at what it's saying. Look at verse 7. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In these four verses, David tells us over and over again what God has done to make that nation of Israel great. In verse 4, he is saying, God has set us free. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverance over Jacob. Because God says so, Israel was free. In verse 5, God has guaranteed permanent victory. Through thee, we will push down our enemies. In other words, there is no fear of enemies. There will be enemies, but there is no fear of enemies. God will do the rest. Verse 6, God and God alone we can trust. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. I will not trust in my mind. I will trust in you, O God. Verse 7, God put the enemies to shame. In God we boast all the day long. So what are we going to do? Verse 8 falls into place. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name. In other words, because of what God has done, we have to praise God. You got it? It is not a matter of government and religion. It is a matter of recognition of the power of God in this universe. What is the power behind America? That was the power behind Israel. That was the power behind that little nation who has no oil but is the richest nation in the world. What is the power? What is the power? Well, I look into the Library of the Congress of the United States and into the Oxford University of England for records of the first steps of those who came to America. I found a long insert that I reduced it a little bit for you. It's on the Mayflower. 41 men signed a document implementing the first government in America. It's before your constitution. Before the American constitution. It goes back 100 years before that. These men signed the document. I read for you the document that they signed. These are the people that came here, and this is why we enjoy our nation. This is behind the power of this great nation. This is a secret, should be taught in the schools everywhere, but they are hiding in a nice niche in the library of the Oxford University. Here's what the document says. Those men who came to America said this: we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of the sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, a journey to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents, solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and another, make covenant to combine ourselves together into a civil, political, and religious body, that Christ will be glorified in the colony of Virginia. Wow. There is no separation of church and state. Those people who came to this country, they came because the state in England wanted to separate from the church. And so they came here to make in a niche a great and mighty nation. So behind America are all these people, 68 of them, who signed this paper, who said solemnly that they came to Virginia to reestablish the power of Christ. Later on, by the year 1952, Eisenhower put in the only money in the world these words: in God we trust. In God we trust. And the devil trying to take it away as much as they can from our government. So this is America in the past. America in the past has in thee started with their mind in God. America in the past has put the foot on the soil of Virginia with one thing in mind: we're going to have a freedom from within that will be revealed from without. And 200 years later, we say, yes, it really works. I myself came from my country in 1965. Not because it was bad. I was a professional. I can do a good life in my country, but I hate when people catch your freedom. And so I came to America because America was free. Cost me a lot to come, cost me years of paperwork and presentations to the embassy and to this, And finally, I never forgot when the ambassador of the United States, Ernst Harley, sent a letter to me, said, "You come, we want to shake your hand and welcome to our country." And my wife and my little tiny baby, less than 2 years old, came into there. And he said, "Even though you don't know one word in English, we'll be good for you." And he shake our hand, remember? He said, "I know what I'm doing," he said. And he signed the paper. And he said, "You can go." Amazing. I felt the power of freedom. You never feel freedom until freedom is taken away from you. If you want to know what freedom is, just go and visit a jail, a security jail. Well, you pass through one door and the door shuts. You pass to the next door and electric buttons shut the door. And then you go to a room to talk to somebody and two electric doors shuts. And the guard tell you, if the prisoner is a little off, push the red button and then we take action. I mean, you feel you I did that many times. You cannot talk to the person. You need air. You are shut in. America got their freedom not because of war, because they came here with the right purpose, to worship God. Now, what happened to Israel? I want to talk to you about America in the present. That was the past. That was the glorious 200 years ago. And so Israel, like America, did few things that they were wrong. Look at in Psalm 44, verses 9 to 14, what really happened after such a beautiful beginning, after such a wonderful start. Verse 9, "But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goes not forth with our enemies. God, we are lost from you." Verse 10, "Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us a spoil for themselves." They're taking advantage of us. King David said, "Thou hast given us like sheep appointed to meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen, and thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price." In other words, we are losing territory. Verse 12, "Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makes us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people." Wow. Here is this nation, the God move on. Here is this nation that God really put all the efforts and everything to create it and to move on. And now this nation is away from God. America, like Israel, has suffered shame because of our disobedience to God's word. Let me just tell you, from the time I came to this country, in the 60s, the Vietnam War brought shame to our nation. If you were in Vietnam, you knew that two or three canyons of the United States would blow up the entire peninsula. But the politicians, with no God in their heart, they negotiate the death of our young people in Vietnam. In the 60s, many of our young men were called upon to fight by their country. And you know what they did? They fled to other countries until the war was over. What a shame to be called in America. You flee away when you have a duty to defend your country. But that happened in America. During the same time, one of the movie actresses, Jane Fonda, showed such lack of patriotism for her country that she went to the enemy side and sat in the tank and was aimed in a direction to our men and talked to them. Then later on, she writes in the paper, "How terrible is America. during the 90s, our president brought shame to the White House like it never had been shamed before. And the president said, I do not know what the word is really mean. You think, God, is this the America of Virginia? Today, it is shame in this country that we have to fill the public school with policemen because these institutions are filled with rebellion, drugs, and activists. It is shame. It is shame that our president tells the Turkish government that we are not a Christian nation. It is shame, Mr. President. I guess he doesn't know how to read history. But not only America suffered shame, but also Israel, like America, was confused. Look at verse 15 in Psalm 44. My confusion, King David is saying that. My confusion is continually before me. And the shame of my face hath covered me, he said. For the voice of him that reproaches and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All these come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Thank God that David said there's still some people, and in spite of all this craziness in our country, some people still remember you. Verse 18, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretch out our hands to a strange God, shall no God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yeah, for the sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, we are confused. All of this happened to us. America today, as I read the newspaper, first thing I do in the morning, I read the newspaper, is confused. Our judges sit on the benches of our court confused. What's the example? Marriage. They are confused about marriage. They never take a look in the mirror and say, I'm a man or a woman. They never do that. Would be very simple. When they take a shower, they take a look and say, I'm a man or a woman. But they don't do that, and they are confused. And they are wasting our money, millions of dollars in court, to see if this man is a man or this man is a woman. Our politicians are continually taking money from us through the tax system. Really, they tax us like crazy. Do you know that you pay 50 cents of every dollar you make in taxes? If you look in the pump, how much you pay, 37 cents. And then if you go to groceries, it's 9 cents on a dollar. I mean, you add all the taxes, 50 cents. And the politicians, they think they want to improve our country and still have no money. Our school board of directors promote evolution rather than creation in taking away the Bible. Are they blind or something? There is only one thing. They are confused. Now, people trying to explain to me what brought this change. I like to dialogue with people, whether it's O'Henry, McDonald's, Jacques Lebeau. I like to dialogue with people. And I tell people to start the conversation. We're in trouble in America. I said, what is it? Oh, we're in trouble. We can't find God. And they looked at me like, this guy really lose it. One time, a police car went around me, and I thought somebody called the police on me. But what is the problem in America? Well, people say, no, we invert. People said, China is the problem because everything is made in China. other people said, well, no, Korea and Japan is the problem because they sell us cars and we lost the cars. And we're trying to look for excuses. India is the problem because we had too many doctors from India and too many engineers from India and our people cannot work. And you really want to know what's the problem? Turn your Bible to Proverbs 14. And verse 34 is in page 394 if you have a Bible in the pew. Here is a problem. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. Look at what the Bible says. Righteousness exalted a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14, verse 34, page 394. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalted a nation. When a nation respects the God of the Bible, when the nation follows the instruction from God, and by a nation, I mean you and I as individuals. When you and I live lives according to the scripture, then the nation is exalted. But sin, unchecked sin, unrepented sin, is a reproach to his people. We have oil from Alaska to the Gulf. Millions of dollars lost. And people don't think that it would just happen. When you kill the innocent who were not yet born, you think that God is going to tolerate that unchecked sin? When our senators do not take the stand to say, this is ungodly, we will not do it. When we approve judge who laugh on Christianity, the one who's going to be a candidate, the other day she laughed on Christianity. When we ignore God, then we're a reproach to God, and our sin is a reproach to ourselves. We are gone. We lose it. Now, what is our hope? My topic today, America. What is our hope? Well, for Israel, it's right here in Psalm 44, verse 23. David is playing, and look at what he's saying. What is the hope for Israel? Psalm 44, verse 23. Awake! Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Looks like he's praying, don't he? Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For, look at here, verse 25 is the key. There are two things there. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. That's conviction. I'm humble. I'm convicted. Our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. That's repentance. There are the two Hebrew expressions of conviction and repentance. Conviction about what they have done and repentance because they have done. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Now, what could be the hope of America? If you move your Bible with me to John's Gospel in the New Testament, in chapter 8, Jesus talking to his disciples, and is giving them the clue of success. John Gospel, chapter 8. And I want to see with you verse 30, 31, and 32. Here is what Jesus said. As he spake these words, many believe on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believe on him, those who said, we are believers. All right? Look at what Jesus says in verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And then verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In other words, Jesus is saying you need to have conviction about God's word. You know why? People say, well, we don't have time to read the Bible. Yes, you do, but you have no conviction about the Bible. If you have conviction about the Bible, you will read it. Because if you know that this book, the Bible, is everything you need to know for your life, then you will read it. And then Jesus said, once you know the truth will make you free. That means you know the Bible and then you practice the Bible, that makes you free. But there is no conviction. Oh, there is church attendance. Oh, there is all kinds of things. But conviction. What America needs is seeing Christians, I'm not even worried about the unbelievers, seeing Christians with conviction. This is what the Word of God said. This is what I do. Living the Word of God, husband and wife, loving each other, faithful to each other, respecting each other, caring for each other, children respecting their parents and follow the steps of their parents. In other words, the little thing, the little unit that God made, the home serving God. When the doors of the church is open, here is mama, papa, and their children in their church. As many times as the church is open. So those children know that in our particular way, we do that. When the church doors open for prayer, there is no room for people to come because they come to pray. I was in a church like that. No, in America. I was under the fire of the communists in Nicaragua, serving in the hospitals there, and the communists controlled the country. And I went to church on Wednesday night to pray, and I had to wait because there were 2,000 people ahead. And the pastor, I had a pastor here one time, Pastor Mendoza. He told me, Pastor, this is soon is going to end. When Ortega takes the presidency and somebody else come in, 3, 4 years from now, people have everything, they forget about God. Lo and behold, now there are 8 or 9 people in church praying. And Nicaragua is again in trouble. Nicaragua is the only country who has the Bible in their flag. I tell you something, it's very simple. Beloved, it's very simple. It's more simple than what the politicians are making. It is you and I get convicted about the Word of God and do what the Word of God said. Is you and I being able to say, why? We are in trouble, but electing Republicans or Democrats will not go anywhere today. You have to go to God and say, God, we have made a mess. And we are the most guilty people. We took it for granted, everything we have from God. And so we live like everything is going to be better, but it's not going to be better. It's going to be worse. Because the Christians have left the basic truth of the Scripture and the basic practice of the Scripture. When I was born in a foreign country and my grandparents were believers and my mother were believers and there were foreigners coming to our home, the Swedish missionaries who spoke French, and we pray. And I say to myself, why? I need to pray for 1 hour. When are those people going to leave home? I kicked my brother under the table and so on, and we got good spanking after that. But, I thank God for those wonderful French missionaries who knew the Word of God and came to read it and to pray because they created in me a spirit of prayer. Parents, this is what you do with your children. When you pray in the table, when you pray before bed, I know sometimes you are tired and exhausted. I know. But do it. Because in the mind of those children, prayer is important. When you got the news to pray for somebody, let the children know. Son, daughter, the church has said we need to pray for so-and-so. Let's hold our hands and pray. Do that. You create in those children a reverence for God. If we humble ourselves, remember 2 Corinthians 7:14. If we humble ourselves and pray, it's so important We lost that spirit. National Day of Prayer. Well, it's a national day. No, every day of prayer in your family. When the church meet together for prayer, you are there in the church praying with the people because you mean it. I asked some of the pastors here in town, say, oh, we have a church, 600 people. We have a church, 800 people. I said, how many of you have a prayer meeting? We don't have a prayer meeting. I said, you don't have a church. If you have no prayer meeting, you have no church. You have a conference ground. You have an entertainment center, but not the church. What Isaiah said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. May God bring conviction to you and to me that it is in the simplicity of every home in America, not in the hands of a senator, not in the hands of a representative. Yes, we have to vote, but it is not in their power. It's in the power of God, and the power of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, and if you have God in your heart, believe me, that makes the difference. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, be not angry with us for our sins, which we only confess and deplore, but pardon our offenses and extend to us thy grace in thy purity. We thank thee for all your manifold and abounding mercies up till now to make our nation exceedingly great and glorious. But now, Father, we are in a spiritual disaster. We have fallen in the darkness of our own soul. Lord, bless thy servant, the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief of our nation, and all that have functions in the civil and military power. May the angel of thy presence walk in the cabinet and in the Congress and in the camp to go before to purify and to direct the now greatly and universally awakened love of country. And we beseech, O God, for thy guidance to overrule and order all things and so cause that nothing shall fail, that the disorders of the land may be speedily healed, that the peace and concord may prevail, that truth and righteousness may be established, and thy church and thy kingdom may flourish even in the Congress of the United States with prosperity. We pray this as a dream in the name of our Son, the Lord Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As join with all nature's in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercies, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, more.